We continue now with the life and revelations of St. Gertrude, of the precious death of sisters M and L. A month after, when the second sister was in her agony, St. Gertrude prayed for her very earnestly. After her death, she appeared to her, surrounded with light, as a young virgin clothed in a purple robe, that she might be presented to her spouse. She also saw Jesus Christ, who stood near her, and who caused a certain consolation to proceed from his wounds, to refresh and strengthen her five senses, so that the soul was exceedingly consoled thereby. St. Gertrude then said to our Lord, "Since thou art the God of all consolation, why dost thou permit this soul to appear so sad, as if troubled by some secret grief?" He answered, "I now manifest to her my humanity, which does not perfectly console her, for thus I reward the special love which she manifested for my passion in the last moments of her life. But when she is perfectly freed from all her stains, I will manifest the joys of my divinity to her, and then she will have all she desires." "But Lord," continued the saint, "how is it that all her faults were not perfectly purified by the charity which she possessed at the last moment of her life, since Scripture teaches that man shall be judged according to the state in which he dies?" The Lord answered, "When a man loses his strength, he has no longer the power to execute his good designs, though he may have the will to do so. When of my gratuitous goodness I inspire these desires and give this will, I do not always efface thereby the stains of past negligences, which would no doubt be accomplished if the person recovered health and strength, and then began to reform his life thoroughly." She replied, "Alas, Lord, cannot thy abundant mercy remit the sins of this soul, who has loved thee so ardently from her very childhood?" He answered, "I will indeed reward her love abundantly, but my justice must first be satisfied by the removal of her stains." Our Lord then turned lovingly to this soul and said to her, "My spouse will consent willingly to what my justice requires, and when she is purified, she will enjoy my glory and consolation." As she consented, our Lord seemed to ascend into heaven, and to leave her after him where she was, but she appeared as if ardently desiring to follow him. The solitude was to purify her from the stains which she had contracted by conversing too freely with the other sex, and the effort she made to ascend upwards purified her from some faults of indolence. On another occasion, as St. Gertrude prayed for the same person at Mass, she said at the elevation of the host, "Holy Father, I offer this host to thee for this soul on the part of all in heaven, on earth, and in the deep." And she beheld his soul in the air, surrounded by a multitude of persons, who held representation of the host in their hands, which they offered up on bended knees. The soul appeared to receive great assistance and inestimable joy from this devotion. Then the soul said, "I now experience the truth of what is said in Scripture, that no good action, however trifling, will fail to be rewarded, and that no negligence, however trifling, will be unpunished. For this offering of the sacrament of the altar procures the greatest consolation for me on account of my former devotion in receiving it, and the ardent charity which I had for others greatly enhances the prayers which are made for me, while for both of these things I shall receive an eternal recompense." The soul then appeared as if elevated higher and higher by the prayers of the church, and when her purification was accomplished, the saint beheld our Lord coming for her to crown her as a queen and to conduct her to eternal joys. Chapter 4. How a disobedience was expiated by an illness. As Gertrude recited five Paternosters for Dame S., the eldest of the community, who had received extreme unction, and at last ended her prayer in the wound of our Lord's side, she besought him to purify this soul with the water which flowed therefrom, and to adorn it with the merits of his most precious blood. She then saw this soul under the form of a young virgin, crowned with a golden circlet, and supported by our divine Lord, who imparted the graces she had asked of this soul. She understood by this that the sister must remain longer on earth to be purified from a disobedience of which she had been guilty in conversing more than was right with a sick person, and this was accomplished. She suffered for 5 months in a manner which sufficiently manifested the fault from which she was being purified. On the day on which she was taken ill, she appeared very joyful, as if our Lord had granted her some great favor, and she attempted to relate what had happened to her, but as she had not the perfect use of her senses, she was unable to do so. But as she saw Gertrude standing by her with some of the other religious, she called her by name and said, "Do you speak for me, for you know all?" Saint Gertrude began to relate what had been revealed to her, and the invalid was then able to continue the recital herself. When the others made any observation, she at once refuted their assertions, declaring that our Lord had forgiven her sins and bestowed many favors on her. On the day before her death, Saint Gertrude beheld our Lord preparing a place for her in his divine arms, but the soul appeared at his left and separated from him by a little cloud. She then said, "Lord, this place which thou hast prepared will not be suitable for a soul covered with this cloud." He replied, "She will remain a little longer on earth, that she may become fit for it." And it was even so, for the religious continued all that day and the following night in her agony. Next morning, she beheld our Lord coming towards the dying nun with marks of the greatest tenderness, and she appeared to rise, as if to meet him. Then Saint Gertrude said, "Art thou not come now to take this desolate soul to thyself as a merciful father?" And our Lord indicated by a sign that he had this intention. Soon after her decease, she saw this soul again under the form of a young virgin, adorned with roses, and advancing joyfully to her spouse. But when she came near him, she fell at his feet as if almost deprived of life, until the words, "Tibi supplicatio commendendi ecclesiae," were repeated, when she arose and cast herself into the divine arms, where she is eternally replenished with the treasures of beatitude. Chapter 5. Of the happy death of Sister M. The approbation of these revelations, and the favors promised through her merits. As Sister M, of happy memory, approached her end, Saint Gertrude prayed for her with others, and said to the Lord, "Why dost thou not hear our prayers for her, O most loving Lord?" He replied, "Her soul is in such a different state from the souls of others that she cannot be consoled by you in a human manner." She continued, "Is this a judgment?" He answered, "I have now my secret in her, as I formerly had my secret with her." Then as Gertrude sought to understand these mysterious words, our Lord said to her, "My majesty will enthrone itself in her." But she continued, "How will she die?" He answered, "She will be absorbed by my divinity, as a sunbeam absorbs a drop of dew." Then she inquired why the wandering of her exterior senses was permitted. He replied, "That you may know I am working in her interiorly, not exteriorly." She answered, "Our own hearts ought to teach us this." He replied, "And how can they receive this favor, who rarely, if ever, enter into their interior, where grace alone is poured forth?" After this, Gertrude besought our Lord to grant the grace of working miracles to Sister M after her death, for the confirmation of the revelations which she had received, and to silence the incredulous. Our Lord replied, holding a book in his hands, Can I not gain a victory without fighting? He added, When it is necessary, I subdue kings and nations by signs and wonders. But now the experience of those who have tasted something of these celestial communications is sufficient to obtain credit for them. For the present, I bear with those who contradict them, but I will at last silence their calumnies. St. Gertrude learned from this that our Lord is pleased with those who believe that he pours forth the effusions of his grace not for their merit, but from the superabounding love of his divine heart. As Sister M was anointed, St. Gertrude saw our Lord touch her hand, saying, When this blessed soul is freed from the chains of the flesh, I will pour forth the abundance of my mercy on all who are here present. As she continued in her agony, and the religious prayed for her still more fervently, she knew that our Lord would grant them three great favors. First, by accomplishing all their good desires. Second, by assisting them in overcoming their faults. And these two favors would be granted through her intercession. The third benefit was that he extended his hand and imparted his benediction to all who were present. As Gertrude occupied herself in fervent thanksgivings, she beheld our divine Lord, the King of Glory, whom the angels adore, standing at the head of the dying nun, whose breath appeared of a golden color and tended towards the heart of her spouse. The saint continued to gaze on this vision with great joy, while the psalm Deus, Deus Meus and the Ad Te Laveve were recited, during which our Lord manifested the tenderest affection for religious. After this, the suffrages were read, with the antiphon Et Te Sinus, during which she beheld the Blessed Virgin, clothed in purple and adorned as a queen. As she stood beside her divine son, she placed the head of this sister so that her breath might come more directly to the heart of Jesus. As they read the short prayer, Ave Jesu, Hail Jesus, my Savior, Word of the Father, our Lord appeared encompassed with an increased splendor, like that of the sun at midday. At first, the saint was overwhelmed by the magnificence of the vision. But as she recovered herself a little, she beheld the effulgent rose of heaven, his Virgin Mother, who appeared to congratulate him on having obtained a new spouse. By this, she understood that this happy union was then consummated and the soul forever immersed in the ocean of eternal beatitude. Chapter 6 Of the Agony and Death of M.B. and of Her Blessed Soul. How salutary it is to assist the souls in purgatory. When M.B. of happy memory was in her agony, Gertrude prayed for her most earnestly and obtained a knowledge of what was passing around her in this last combat. For a whole hour she beheld nothing but the trouble which the soul endured for having sometimes taken undue pleasure in exterior things, such as for having had a coverlet of colored cloth on her bed, embroidered with gold. A footnote. This doubtless was before the religious had entered the monastery, as the rule of poverty of every religious house would forbid such extravagance. The richly embroidered quilt was a very pitch of luxurious refinement in that age, and hence indicated a habit of self-indulgence or luxurious tastes, which probably caused the soul suffering for an act which was only its climax. Continuing on the day of her decease, when Mass was celebrated, Gertrude offered the host for her, although she did not see her, she knew that she was present, and addressed our Lord thus, as if seeking her, saying, O Lord, where is she? He replied, She will come to me, pure and white. From this, she understood that the prayers which were offered in charity had obtained great grace for her in her last moments, and that some persons, moved by holy zeal, had offered their good works for her and charged themselves with the penalties due to her. As Gertrude prayed for her again at the Mass, which preceded her interment, she beheld her seated at a festal table beside our Lord, where the prayers which had been offered were given to her under the form of different kinds of food. At the elevation, as the saint offered the chalice for her, our Lord appeared to present it to her himself. When she had tasted it, she immediately became penetrated with divine sweetness and rose up to pray for all who had ever injured her, either by thought, word, or act, rejoicing for the merit which they had obtained for her thereby. Then Gertrude inquired why she did not pray for her friends also, but she replied, "I pray for them more efficaciously by speaking heart to heart to my beloved." On another occasion, as she remarked that she had offered all her merits for the deceased, she said to our Lord, "I hope, O Lord, that thou wilt frequently cast the eyes of thy mercy on my indigence." He replied, "What can I do more for one who has thus deprived herself of all things through charity than to cover her immediately with charity?" She answered, "Whatever thou mayest do, I shall always appear before thee destitute of all merit, for I have renounced all I have gained or may gain." He replied, "Do you not know that a mother would allow a child who was well clothed to sit at her feet, but she would take one who was barely clad into her arms and cover her with her own garment?" He added, "And now what advantage have you, who are seated on the shore of an ocean, over those who sit by a little rivulet? That is to say, those who keep their good works for themselves have the rivulet, but those who renounce them in love and humility possess God, who is an inexhaustible ocean of beatitude." Chapter 7. How the souls of G and B were purified for neglecting confession and for taking pleasure in earthly things. As Scripture testifies that by what things a man sinneth, by the same also he is punished, and on the contrary, that he will be rewarded in the things in which he has suffered or done good, we give the following examples for the benefit of our readers. We had two persons with us who were both ill at the same time. One evidently suffered from a severe affection of the chest, and hence she was attended more carefully. The other, whose disease was not known, and who seemed more likely to live, did not receive so much care. But as men are often deceived, the one for whom we feared the least died the first, and the other survived a month longer. When the former approached her end, she had been strengthened in grace by great patience and devotion, which had purified her soul exceedingly. For the ardent love which our Lord had for his spouse would not suffer him to permit the least stain to remain on her. Nevertheless, she still needed some purification for having too easily omitted confession. For sometimes when the priest came to her, she feigned to be sleeping, not having any grave fault to accuse herself of. As the hour approached when she was to be received to the eternal embraces of her spouse, he purified her from this stain. For when she asked for a confessor, she lost the power of speech when he came, and then she feared exceedingly that she would suffer for her former negligence after death, and so was purified from her fault by this excessive fear. Thus being entirely purified and freed from every stain, she was released from the prison of the flesh and received into eternal glory. Many revelations concerning this were made to Gertrude. One of these was that when she was brought to our Lord's throne of glory, he conferred this privilege on her of seeming to soothe her as a mother would a child when she wished her to take some bitter medicine. And he did this to console her for some little inattention which had been shown her in consequence of the religious being so much occupied in attending to her companion, whom they believed to be dangerously ill. Our Lord then said to her, "Tell me, my daughter, what you would wish me to do for the soul of your companion, and what consolation you desire me to give her." She replied, "Give her the same gifts thou hast bestowed on me, my dearest Lord, for I cannot imagine any more consoling." and our Lord promised to comply with her request. The other religious died a month later. The day after her death, she was seen marvelously adorned as a reward for the exceeding innocence and simplicity of her life, and her exactness in observing all the austerities of her order. But she had one stain from which she needed purification, and this was having received unnecessary consolations in her illness. She was purified in this manner. She stood at the gate of a palace, where our Lord was seated on a throne of glory, with a countenance so full of sweetness and love that no human intellect could describe its beauty. He appeared anxious to receive his spouse, but when she attempted to approach, she found herself withheld by nails which fastened her garments to the ground, and these nails were the imperfections she had committed in her sickness. But Gertrude, who was touched with compassion, prayed for her, and our Lord freed her from this impediment. Then the saint said to our Lord, "Why was this soul freed by my prayers and not restored by the prayers of those who loved her so much and who prayed for her with such fervor and affection?" He replied, "Their prayers have been of great service to her, but they did not remove the impediment which I have revealed to you, and from which she has been released by your prayers." She continued, "How hast thou fulfilled thy promise to treat this person with the same goodness as thou didst manifest to her who died first? For she has lived longer in religion and seemed to abound more in virtue, and yet the other appeared at once in thy presence and in greater glory." He answered, "My justice is immutable, for I reward each according to her works. She who has labored least cannot receive more than she who has labored most, unless she has worked with a purer intention, a more fervent charity, or a more earnest strife. But my mercy rewards works of supererogation such as the prayers of the faithful, and thus my rewards are not always proportioned to the person's actual merit." Hence we may learn how carefully we should avoid taking pleasure in anything earthly, since this blessed soul was thus detained from happiness for this imperfection. This was even more fully manifested to Saint Gertrude in another vision, in which she saw her before the throne of God, manifesting the same ardor as she had done at the gate, not indeed desiring to approach, but appearing as if unable to move, and this was the second obstacle to her happiness. And even when she was freed from this, her happiness was not perfectly complete until our Lord placed a magnificent crown on her head, which he held in his hand and which she received with exceeding joy. As Saint Gertrude beheld this, she said to our Lord, "Why has this soul been tormented so painfully, where thou art so all-powerful?" He replied, "She has not been tormented, but has waited with joy for the consummation of her happiness, even as a young girl would wait for a festival on which she was to be adorned with the ornaments which her mother had prepared for her." After this, the soul thanked the saint for the prayers which she had offered for her, and Gertrude said to her, "Why did you not receive willingly some admonition which I gave you during your sickness, although you always seemed so much attached to me?" The soul replied, "It is for this reason that your prayers have now more power with God, since they are offered more purely out of charity." Chapter 8. Of Sister G's happy preparation for death, her fervent desires, and her glory. Another religious died with us, who from her childhood had shown the most entire aversion to the world and all its attractions. When her agony came, she bade farewell to all who were round her with great affection, and promised to pray for them when she had attained eternal blessedness and the inexhaustible source of all good. In the agonies of her last moments, she said to God, "Lord, thou knowest the secrets of my heart, and how I have desired to persevere in thy service, even to old age, and to devote all my strength to thee. But now, since it is thy will, I come to thee, and all my desires are changed into a fervent longing to possess thee, so that death has even become sweet to me. Yet, if it were pleasing to thee that I should continue in my present state until the day of judgment, I would willingly do so, even were this the first day of the world's creation. But as I know that thou wilt give me rest today, I beseech thee of thy mercy, and for the glory of thy name, that I may continue to suffer until I have paid the debts of those souls whom thou desirest most to release. And in this, O Lord, thou knowest that I am not considering my merits, but purely thy glory. After this prayer, and many others, the infirmarian asked the religious to allow her to arrange her feet before she died. She replied, I will offer this sacrifice myself to my crucified Lord. And as she spoke, she extended her feet towards a crucifix, saying, I offer thee all the movements of my feet in union with the ardent love with which thou didst commend thy spirit into the hands of thy Father with a great cry. Then she offered likewise the movements of her eyes, her lips, her hands, and her heart with great fervor and devotion. After this, she asked to have the Passion read for her, showing them herself where she wished them to commence. Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven, saying if they commenced at the words, before the festival day, they would not have time to finish before her death. At the words, and bowing his head, he gave up the ghost. She asked for the crucifix. Then, kissing the five wounds with the tenderest devotion, she gave thanks to God with words of the most heavenly wisdom and devotion, most touching to all who were present. And then she lay back on her pallet and slept sweetly in the Lord. After her death, St. Gertrude saw her received by our Lord with the tenderest caresses, and specially rewarded for having renounced the world so generously for his love. She also heard the angelic choirs chanting the Quaestista as they conducted her in triumphal procession to heaven. When she was brought before the throne of God, Jesus, the spouse of virgins, turned towards her with great love and said, You are my glory. Then he crowned her as a queen and enthroned her near himself. As Gertrude prayed for her at her interment on the following day, she beheld her in a state of joy and glory which exceeds all human comprehension. Then she inquired what reward she had received for certain virtues, and the soul obtained for her the grace of receiving some little share of her recompense, and then inquired, What more do you desire to know of what I have received? The heavenly ark, which contains the plenitude of divine sweetness, even the heart of Jesus Christ, my beloved, with all its treasures, is open to me, with one exception, which I am deprived of because, when in life, I reserved to myself the secrets of my spouse and did not communicate them to others. And this treasure is open only to those who, giving freely, communicated to others all the gifts of God. But, inquired Gertrude, what reply shall I give to your friends and mine when they ask me of your present state and reward, since no human words can express them? The soul replied, After you have smelt the perfume of many flowers, how can you make another person understand what you have experienced? Would you not content yourself with saying that the odor was very delicious? Thus, after you have known in spirit how great is the felicity which with God has rewarded me, you can only say that I have been rewarded beyond all my deserts for every good thought, word, or act by my faithful and beloved Jesus. Chapter 9. The Rewards Which Brother S. Received for His Fidelity and Benevolence. When Brother S. was in his agony, Gertrude, being engrossed in some occupation, omitted to pray for him until she heard he was dead, and then began to reproach herself for her neglect of one who had always served the community so faithfully and affectionately as a lay brother. She therefore besought our Lord to reward his services abundantly according to the multitude of his mercies. The Lord vouchsafed to reply thus to her, I have rewarded him for his fidelity in three ways, in answer to the prayers of the congregation. From his natural benevolence, he took the greatest pleasure in conferring favors on others, and I have renewed in him all this pleasure for each act of kindness which he performed. I have also accumulated in his soul all the gratification and joy which he obtained for others by these acts of benevolence, such as giving a child a toy, a poor person a penny, a sick person some fruit, or any other relief. And lastly, I have made him rejoice exceedingly on account of the approbation which I have manifested for these actions, and I will soon supply all that he needs to attain perfect felicity. Chapter 10. How Brother Herman Suffered for Obstinacy, and of the assistance which may be obtained in the other life by the prayers of the saints and the faithful. As Gertrude prayed for the repose of the soul of Brother Herman, a lay brother lately deceased, she inquired what his state was, and our Lord replied, He is now present, and I have granted him this favor in return for the earnest prayers which have been made for him. I have invited him to assist at this feast. Then she saw our Lord, as the father of a family, seated at a table on which were placed all the prayers, oblations, desires, and so forth, which had been offered for this brother. The soul stood sad and dejected at one end of the table, for he was not yet sufficiently purified to behold the loving countenance of our Lord. But he soon appeared exceedingly refreshed and comforted by what he beheld before him. The saint observed with some surprise that the effect of these offerings came to him directly from the offerings themselves, and not as usual through our Lord, who generally appeared to her to present the souls with the offerings made for them with great joy. But our Lord sometimes, of his own goodness, and in consideration of the merits of those who prayed for him, gave him some consolation himself, which imparted great satisfaction to the soul. The Blessed Virgin sat as a queen beside her divine Son, and appeared also to place some gifts on the table as a reward for the particular devotion which this soul had for her when on earth. The saints to whom he had been devout also made offerings for him, and by these things, and the earnest love with which they were presented before God, the countenance of the brother seemed hourly became more serene and joyful, and he slowly raised his eyes to gaze upon that blessed light, which, when it is once beheld, imparts eternal joy and causes all former sorrow to be forgotten. As Gertrude observed that the soul still continued in the same position, she said to him, For what fault have you suffered most? He replied, For self-will and self-opinionatedness. For when I did any kindness for others, I would not do as they wished, but as I wished myself. And so much do I suffer for this, that if the mental agonies of all mankind were united in one person, he would not endure more than I do at present. She replied, And what remedy will be most efficacious for you? He answered, To perform acts of the contrary virtue, and to avoid committing the same fault. But in the meantime, inquired Gertrude, what will afford you the greatest relief? He replied, The fidelity which I practice towards others when on earth consoles me most. The prayers which are offered continually for me by my friends solace me as good news would solace a person in affliction. Each tone of the chant at Mass, or in the vigils which are said for me, seem to me as a most delicious refection. All that is done for me by others, with a pure intention for God's glory, such as working, and even sleeping or eating, affords me great relief, and shortens my sufferings, on account of the fidelity with which I labored for others. But, she continued, what advantage do you gain from our desire to give you the merit of all the good works which God enables us to perform? He answered, They are of great utility for me, for they adorn my soul. St. Gertrude replied, "But if any person deferred the prayer which they proposed to offer for you on account of sickness, who would suffer from it?" The soul answered, "Delays, which are the result of prudence, do not harm us unless they are caused by negligence." She continued, "Were you not injured by our prayers during your sickness, as we ask more earnestly for your recovery than for the grace of a happy death?" The soul replied, "This did not harm me, for I discovered therein the immense goodness of God, whose tender mercies are over all his works, as he was moved to do me even more good from beholding your affection for me. But will tears shed for you through human affection do you harm?" He answered, "These tears are to me as the kindness of a friend who consoles his friend when in affliction. And when I am in the enjoyment of perfect happiness, it will give me as much joy as the congratulations and applause of those I love. And I have merited this consolation by my faithfulness in your service, which has gained your affection for me." On another occasion, when St. Gertrude recited the Paternoster for the same soul, she observed, to her extreme surprise, that his sufferings appeared greatly increased when she repeated the words, "Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us." As she inquired the reason of this suffering, he replied, "When I was in the world, I offended God frequently by my unwillingness to forgive those who injured me in any way. And even when I had forgiven them, I showed my resentment by a grave manner when I met them. And I suffer for this whenever these words are repeated for me." "And how long will you suffer thus?" inquired the saint. The soul replied, "I shall suffer until I am entirely purified. But henceforward, by the mercy of God, whenever you say this prayer for me, I shall obtain great relief thereby." When Mass was offered for this soul, he appeared radiant with light and transported with joy. Then Gertrude said to our Lord, "Is this soul now entirely freed from its sufferings?" Our Lord answered, "He is already free from much suffering, and no human being can form an idea of his glory. But he is not yet so perfectly purified as to be worthy to enjoy my presence, though he is approaching nearer and nearer to this purity by the prayers which are offered for him, and is more and more consoled and relieved." He added, "His obstinacy in following his own will, and his disinclination to submit to the will of others, have prevented him from obtaining relief from your prayers as speedily as he would otherwise have done." Chapter 11. How Brother John was rewarded for his labors and punished for his faults. As it is but just that souls should be purified from their stains before they receive the reward of their good works, yet it sometimes appears that mercy triumphs over justice, as in the case of Brother John, the procurator, who worked so faithfully and laboriously for the good of the convent. His good works appeared in the form of steps, by which his soul ascended after its separation from the body, satisfying for its imperfections by the pain which this exertion cost him. But the higher he ascended, the less difficulty he experienced. However, as it is difficult to avoid all imperfections in this life, and as the justice of God punishes even the least negligence, when he came to certain steps he was seized with a sudden fear, which stupefied him, as if he expected that the next step would give way beneath him. From this, Gertrude understood that some of his good works had been tainted by some infidelity, from which he was purified by this fear. When other members of the congregation prayed for him, either mentally or vocally, she perceived that he was assisted in his ascent, as if they had extended their hands to help him upwards, and thus afforded him great consolation. It was also revealed to her that those who had served her community, when they expiated their faults after their death, were relieved in the consideration of the services which they had rendered to them, and that this privilege would be continued as long as the religious continued in the same state of fervor. Chapter 12. How the soul of Brother Thi was released by prayers in honor of the five wounds. When Brother Thi, the lay brother, died, who had labored faithfully for the monastery for many years, St. Gertrude began to pray for him as soon as she heard of his decease. As she was thus occupied, she beheld him in spirit, and his soul appeared black and deformed, as if suffering intense anguish from some remorse of conscience. As she was exceedingly moved to compassion, she commenced reciting five paternosters in honor of our Lord's five wounds, which she embraced very tenderly. At the fifth paternoster, as she approached the wound of our Lord's side, our Lord emitted blood and water from it in the form of a vapor, and she perceived that the soul was exceedingly refreshed thereby interiorly, but that he suffered as if from exterior wounds, which caused him intense pain. By the virtue of this blood and water, the soul was then transported into a garden of herbs, each of which signified some good work which he had performed when in the world. And on these our Lord conferred such virtue, in answer to the prayers of the community, that each of these plants became medicinal and healed his wounds when applied to them. And she understood that if the community persevered earnestly in their prayers, he would soon be entirely cured. She knew also that there were some herbs which represented his imperfect actions, and which, when he touched them, his sufferings were fearfully increased. After his interment, as they chanted the Media Vita as usual, at the word Sancte Deus, Sancte Fortis, Sancte Immortalis, when the religious prostrated on the ground, the soul elevated itself towards heaven with exceeding gratitude, appearing to prostrate with the community, thanking God for having had the privilege of living in so holy a convent, where his labors had been specially blessed and accepted on account of the merits of those whom he had served. He declared also, wherever he had lived before he entered that house, he had been obliged to earn his bread by the labor of his hands, but that he had never gained thereby from all his exertions as much advantage as he had obtained in the monastery for his soul. Let us continue with the life and revelations of St. Gertrude on side B.